Hendricks v. Compass Group. Mr. Pierce.
May it please the court, opposing counsel, my name is John Pierce and I represent Susan Hendricks in this case against Compass Group. We're here because of, this is a very simple case, a phenomenally simple case. If one person goes on FMLA protected light duty in lieu of taking leave, can a company dock her pay? Can they reduce her pay because of that? Can they discriminate against her because of that?
Well, she gets no pay while on FMLA.
While on FMLA leave, FMLA leave itself is paid or unpaid. It's at the discretion of the company. In a workers' comp situation, it's usually paid unless some other circumstances are met. However, if you go on FMLA light duty, you're actually working. You're at work. You're doing a job.
Isn't light duty connected to workers' comp?
Light duty is connected to workers' comp. In this case, she was injured at work, had to have surgery on her shoulder, came back a couple days after her surgery on light duty. She worked somewhere around 30 hours a week on light duty and then had 10 to 15 hours paid by workers' comp for the time that she wasn't at work.
Is it part of the workers' comp agreement that the company has to give her light duty?
Not to my knowledge. There's no evidence.
Why would the company do that?
It's my understanding that what actually happened is that the company called her doctor after her surgery and said, we need her back at work, and brought her back.
But she didn't drive. Why did you need her back at work?
That I do not know, Your Honor.
I was guessing. Maybe I'm wrong. I thought when workers' comp pays for 15 hours, the other 25 hours that the company sort of had an obligation, I guess sort of a mitigating factor where they have to give her light work. I don't know whether that's the case or not.
I don't know either, Your Honor. Right. It's not been brought up in this case before.
Okay.
But our point is simply this. If you go to work, you must be paid. And under FMLA, you can't be discriminated against because you've taken FMLA. So if you're on FMLA light duty, they can't reduce your pay.
But you're creating a new category that I don't see in the statute, which is FMLA light duty. What the statute does say, of course, is that you can either just take FMLA leave, which might even be without pay, or, you know, if you come back and you're ready to come back to work after a period of FMLA leave, you have to get your job or something comparable back. You can't be discriminated against in that sense. But I don't see the statute addressing some category, you know, FMLA light duty. It seems to me that this is really something that the company was offering. And indeed, in the regulations, it looks like there's not even an obligation. You can offer it as an option, but you can't force an employee to take light duty. So they were paying her for the job she was doing, the light duty job at the $9 an hour rate. But I don't see where you get their legal obligation to pay her for the job that she wasn't doing, namely her old job.
If you look at the regulations promulgated by the Department of Labor, 29 CFR section 825.220D says that you can voluntarily take light duty or perform light duty in lieu of taking leave. That light duty is protected under the FMLA.
But it doesn't. What I don't see in that regulation is something that addresses, for the period of time that the leave is going on, anything that addresses the rate of pay that you're supposed to get in that light duty. Once you're finished with the FMLA period of time, 12 weeks, let's say, assume you take it all, then when you come back to your regular job, assuming you can do that, et cetera, you, of course, are entitled to something comparable, either the old job or something comparable. Where do you see a payment obligation?
There is no payment obligation there. This is completely unaddressed specifically by the regulations or the law or the courts. I've not seen this handled anywhere before.
However, what would the incentive structure be if we were to hold, as you want us to, that companies that put their disabled workers on light duty have to pay them the same amount that the old job would have had? What do you think companies are going to do?
Well, what's going to happen is if we – I'll reverse that. If we –
Well, you
if
could
we
do it my way first and then reverse it.
Well, they don't necessarily have to put them on light duty. They can
right.
give
so
them –
Right, so she might get zero instead of $9 an hour.
Well, in this case, she would have received payment from workers' comp under the Indiana workers' comp scheme.
Well, she did, though.
And she did for the hours that she was not at work.
And that's what I don't understand, the workers' comp obligation, because it seems that under workers' comp, that's a different situation when you're on workers' comp. You can call it paid leave if you want, but it's not paid leave as under the FMLA where you're required to take a vacation pay or sick pay or something like that. It's a separate definition, and I don't think that's part of the FMLA definition.
Well, and as a matter of fact, the FMLA does draw a distinction, stating that the company cannot make you take vacation time, they can't make you take sick time unless you refuse an unconditional offer to come back on light duty. We also get into the problem, which is the opposite to your question. If it gives somebody a Hobbesian choice, they either, if they're on work comp and they're given the option of coming back on light duty, they're not physically able to, or they feel like they're not physically able to. Under the ruling in this case so far, they could either be forced to come back and make a lower rate of pay, or they forfeit all their vacation time and all their sick time as a result of an injury they got at work.
Wait, that's not overlapping. If you take FMLA, you have a right to take it without pay, but the company could mandate that you use up your vacation pay at that time, so that when you get back from FMLA leave, you don't say, not to do, I want to take 6 weeks of vacation or 3 weeks or whatever you get. So I don't think there's any mandate there. They do have the right to go without pay.
It
you
actually
can't force them to come back to work.
Actually, there is a regulation, and forgive me a moment while I find it here. There's a regulation, and it's cited in the brief, where if you are on workers' comp, if you are taking time off because of workers' comp, which also runs concurrent with FMLA, the workers' comp leave is, of course, paid, or any time off because of workers' comp injury is, of course, paid. The company cannot force you to take vacation pay or sick leave during that time in conjunction with everything else.
With when you're on workers' comp.
When you're on workers' comp.
Leave.
And which is a situation that she was in. But they can force you, or they can essentially request that you come back to work on a light-duty status, and if you turn that down, then they can force you to take vacation pay or light-duty pay, or, light, excuse me, vacation time or...
And you say that regulation is cited in your brief?
Yes, it is, Your Honor.
I don't want to take your time up, but that's... I'd be curious what that is. If you don't use it on rebuttal or whatever.
I will provide it to you on rebuttal. The second issue in this matter is the matter of the collective bargaining agreement. We had the FMLA says that if you have a essentially better leave policy or a better policy than the FMLA, that you have to use that. The evidence that we've provided to the court, and it's in the brief, of the collective bargaining agreement says that if you're on a temporary duty status, you'll be paid at your old rate of pay. That's the only thing that's been provided to the court as far as rates of pay and status. The district court decided in this matter that, that based on the assertions of opposing counsel, that was not, in fact, the policy of the company. We have no evidence on affidavits. We have no evidence from witness testimony. We have no documents stating otherwise, stating anything other than our position. And I've reserved 5 minutes for...
Thank you, Spears. Ms. McLaughlin?
Thank you. May it please the court, there is nothing unique about the facts of this case that calls for a new or a modified interpretation or application of FMLA. The appellant cites no statute, as he acknowledged in his opening, that is unaddressed by the regs, it's unaddressed by the law, and it's unaddressed by the courts. There's simply nothing to suggest anything other than the straightforward application and the fundamental recognition that FMLA leave is unpaid. Here we have, there is nothing in the FMLA or any case or statute that would interpret that, that holds that even though an employee is not capable of physically performing her original position and who elects to receive the benefits of workers' compensation and who works in that light-duty position as is required by the workers' compensation carrier, to the court's question, that somehow the company must continue to pay that person at the same rate they were paid for their original position.
Now, when you say it's required by the workers' comp carrier, which I assume that's sort of a mitigating situation, a balance, she's working part-time, is the company obligated to give her that light work under workers' comp? Is there some sort of is that part of their contract with the carrier?
That's part of the carrier's contract. That's not in the record, Your Honor.
With the company.
Correct.
Yeah,
correct.
I'm assuming that. That's the only way I can figure this out. You say it's not in the record, but...
Absolutely correct, Your Honor. Right. That's the entire point of the scheme. FMLA says only that we will protect you, employee, if you have a serious health condition. You may take time off. You can have 12 weeks off, and we will guarantee that if you are physically capable of returning to your position at any time within those 12 weeks, you get it back. And when you return, you'll get that same rate of pay. Now, you don't have to do that. You could file a claim for workers' compensation, which is precisely what Ms. Hendricks did. To get that, the workers' comp carrier can say, I don't have to pay you the agreed or the contractual rate just to let you sit at home. I can require that before you get those benefits, if it is available and if you are capable of performing it, that you return to perform light duty. Again, precisely what happened here. And Ms. Hendricks said, posed with that choice of staying at home, getting nothing, but being protected under FMLA, or taking the benefits she gets from workers' compensation, she must work light duty. And that's what she did. And that is precisely... I'm sorry?
I mean, it sounds to me like, from what you're saying, that this $9 an hour light duty job really is part and parcel of the election to do workers' compensation instead of FMLA. I mean, that they just, because the job was available and so on, it's all part of the system. And so I wanted to make a comment about the record. It is a little strange to me, if that's the case, that we don't have more information about the workers' comp scheme in the record. And the second thing that I found, and maybe it's just someplace and I haven't found it yet, but there's a copy of something, I'm not sure whether this is the collective bargaining agreement or whatever, but there are references to aspects of the collective bargaining agreement, and I couldn't find the whole thing. This says Collective Bargaining Agreement Appendix A, Wages, at page 34, but my appendix only goes up to page 25, so I don't know whether that means the appendix was at page 34 of the CBA or whether that means something else, but I don't know what page 34 means here.
Your Honor, there is absolutely no dispute nor any challenge at the court below that as to any aspect of the worker compensation agreement, the contract, that somehow the workers' comp carrier couldn't require her to come back and perform light duty. She had that choice. That's a choice that she could make. And there's no allegation in this case at any level that somehow we misapplied the workers' compensation contract requirement. And that's why we certainly didn't present any of that in the record. There was no reason to at that point.
How long was she on workers' comp?
She was on...
After the operation.
She was actually on workers' comp before the operation,
right,
and continued throughout the period of her employment. FMLA leave
on,
would protect...
On workers' comp?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
She was on 24 weeks of FMLA and workers' comp, which was running concurrent with that.
Now, the FMLA had 12 weeks.
Correct, Your Honor.
And that the only all that FMLA did for her was just to guarantee if she came back to work after 12 weeks, she'd get her original job back or comparable.
That's correct, Your Honor.
There wasn't any other FMLA impact, was there?
None whatsoever. And to the point that Mr. Pierce was raising, the regulation he cites is 825.207D, as in dog 2. That simply talks about the interplay of FMLA and accrued paid leave and workers' comp. What the law says is employee, and it applies to both the employee and the employer, that if you take FMLA, again, you can go home and not be paid. If you have accrued vacation time, accrued paid leave, you as employee may request that time that would be for part of that FMLA. So you are actually getting paid for part of that leave because you had already earned that, whether it's vacation time, paid leave, etc. Or you could, if you don't take that, you could file for workers' compensation for which you would get some pay. And that, again, would be consistent. What you cannot do and what the employer cannot force you to do is you're on FMLA leave, you're getting workers' compensation, and the employer says you also have to count some of that as your vacation time. It says you can have one or the other.
And workers' comp insulates them from imposing that.
Exactly.
Because I think the company can mandate that you take vacation pay on FMLA leave.
Absolutely correct.
But they can't if you're on workers' comp.
That's exactly right. As this court held in the REPA decision recently in February this year, the same thing applies to temporary total disability. You can't accept the temporary total disability payments with FMLA and come back and say, I also want my accrued paid benefits. It's one or the other, and that's what happened here. In response to Your Honor's questions also about the collective bargain agreement, that's, again, a very creative argument, but flawed. Again, the only evidence of record is that one page from the appendix of the collective bargaining agreement. The only way that that becomes applicable is, again, a regulation that talked about light duty. It's 825.220D that says, again, the only reference to light duty, it talks about it being protected and they can return to their regular job. The other reg is 825.700A that Mr. Pierce referred to, says an employer can provide greater family or medical leave rights than the rights established by the FMLA. And all the regulation says is if you provide greater medical leave rights, you can't somehow come back later and say, oh, no, you're not going to get those because the FMLA doesn't require me to do anything more. Now, what Mr. Pierce has done is taken one page from the collective bargaining agreement. It doesn't mention FMLA. It doesn't mention light duty. It refers in no way to any kind of paid leave, accrued leave, medical leave. Indeed, on its face, it is talking about wages and what happens when you move from one classification to another. Again, it doesn't apply to light duty. It doesn't reference light duty. It doesn't say anything about light duty.
So in other words, I mean, if there were a line on this page that said light duty, it's your argument that that would be a transfer from her point of view from one classification to another. But the absence of a line that says light duty means that she's not qualified for the Section 3 benefit.
That's certainly true, Your Honor. I wouldn't want to be required to say if the word light duty was on here that our argument fails, because I think the regulation speaks to leave. And that was the real point, that if an employer suggested it would pay more for a leave, they're obligated to do that. This page doesn't say anything about leave. There are six classifications mentioned here. None of those involve light duty. It's simply a separate issue. This is not applicable to the situation we have here. And it's a creative argument to say somehow they work on a temporary basis, but it's simply there's nothing in the record that would suggest that applies. The other finding that was made by the district court was, even assuming you would ignore that language in the regulation and somehow find anything on this page that references leave or light duty or anything that applies to Ms. Hendricks, It, in fact, does say employees who work on a temporary basis. And as the district court found, she didn't work in that position on a temporary basis. She was on that through her, the time her employment ended. There was nothing temporary about it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. McLaughlin. Mr. Pierce?
I'd like to thank Mr. McLaughlin for finding that provision for me. He's, say on a personal level, he's one of the most decent attorneys I've ever dealt with, and he's also an excellent attorney, which is what has gotten to this bit, to this point.
It's 825.07 small d in print.
825.207.
207?
D. Yes, sir. D2. And the way it, since workers' compensation leave is paid, an employer may not require that an employee utilize other paid time off or take unpaid leave unless the employee refuses an offer of light duty work in lieu of leave. And that's our, that's my paraphrase of what it says in there. What it comes down to here is if this case stands the way it is, we're going to create two classes of FMLA claimants. We're going to have a class of claimants who doesn't have a workers' compensation claim, and they're allowed to take leave, and they're not allowed to be discriminated against as a result of it. May I finish my...
You may.
Thank you. Then you're going to have a class of claimants who is on FMLA leave or needs FMLA protection as a result of a workers' compensation injury. And because you can reduce their pay if they come back on light duty, they're going to be discriminated against.
What do you mean reduce their pay? When?
If you come back on light duty, and like in Ms. Hendricks' case, you're paid $9 an hour.
After 8 or 12 weeks of FMLA?
No, Your Honor.
Oh, okay.
If you take FMLA, if you take light duty in lieu of leave, which in lieu of to me means instead of, and it's the same thing as.
Basically, get less pay for less work.
Less pay for less work, but it's also a situation where it's not your fault necessarily. You've got a workers' compensation injury. We would ask that you would reverse the district court and send us back for trial.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement.